Happy Saturday, everybody. Welcome to another one of our Be Our Guest podcast community check-in shows. This show was originally recorded on Tuesday night, April 21st, 2020, where we had a fun and very interesting conversation on when the theme parks do reopen, what if Epcot remained closed? Of course, we know that Epcot is undergoing a transformation right now. Lots of huge infrastructure projects happening right there in the middle of Future World. Also, a lot of stuff on the perimeter as well, the entrance plaza, all kinds of stuff happening. What if Disney used this time to keep the park down maybe all summer, maybe reopening on October 1st, the birthday of the park, or keeping it closed just a little bit longer? How could this be advantageous for the Disney guests, or how could this be a disadvantage to folks visiting for the first time or for the first time in a long time? We have this conversation with our callers. It's a very interesting show and lots of great ideas and discussion around this topic. Again, I hope this show finds you safe and well. We sure appreciate you being a part of our podcast community. We're going to get through this all together. Remember, we are one more day closer to getting back to normal. So hang in there, everybody, and thank you again so much for your support of the Be Our Guest podcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Good evening and happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome to yet another Be Our Guest podcast community check-in show. It is Tuesday night, April 21st, 2020, as we record the show live here on Facebook. We hope the show finds you well. I hope that you had a nice Tuesday. You were productive in your home office. And if you're one of our essential workers getting out there in the community, thank you again, as always, for being there. You know, whether you're working in a grocery store, fast food restaurant, what used to be kind of a table service restaurant, but you're doing curbside. If you're working in our hospitals, our urgent cares, if you're a truck driver out there on the roads, delivery person, even a custodial person that's cleaning up after us and making sure that we stay safe. If you're working in a gas station, what have you. Just, again, thank you for being there so that the rest of us can shelter down and we can ride this out together. That's what we're doing here. We're trying to all get together each and every evening to spend an hour out of the 24 talking Disney, escaping the bad news for a while and just having a good time. So today we're going to have a fun show. We're going to be getting your calls here at 407-413-9395. I've got the phone number right from the very start tonight because I did put one digit wrong, and at least it was a Disney extension of the last few shows. So we weren't like pranking some random guy in like Wyoming. Because it's 407, so he's somebody in Orlando, but they probably wouldn't be happy about that, especially if it was like Joanne or somebody or the Griffiths. But anyway, we're going to have a good time talking Disney tonight. Joining me tonight for the show, my buddy up in the mitten where it's apparently turned cold again, Scotty G. Hashtag Scotty G. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Mike, how's it going? It's definitely cold out here. I was, you texted me before this. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go for a walk, so I'll pass tonight. And I took the dog out, and it felt like 10 degrees outside. I said, nope, not doing that.
It was so funny. I sent Scott a text. I'm like, hey, if you want to come on the show tonight, we're going to talk some Epcot and just some other stuff. And he's like, just get ready to take a walk. I was like, nope, no worries, man. Go take the walk. 5 seconds later, it's too cold, man. I'm ready. Let's go.
I still may go out there for a few minutes. Got to fill that ring, you know. But
you're still living on the 26.2. You're still law of averages, right?
Did I tell you what that guy's doing now? Really quick. He's got a new challenge. Now he wants to run the height of Mount Everest over a month. So he figured out like the elevation and how many feet that is and how many
it's like
levels 28, of stairs.
That's like 28,000 feet or something, isn't it?
Yeah, I think he's got to do like 60 flights of stairs. It might even be more than that, like a day or something for like the next month. It's ridiculous.
I'll tell you what though, when I was super crazy back in 2016, when I got super sick because I lost so much weight so fast, I was doing about 150 flights of steps a day. Because what I would do is I taught gifted, so I didn't grade anything. I taught the same thing every day of the year. Different kids, but the same lesson. And it was not great. It was robotics. So the kids would leave at about 145. We were on the contract till 350. And I didn't have really much, a whole lot. Now that I'm not teaching, I didn't have a whole bunch to do. All the other teachers are killing me right at this point. But my room is at the very end of the hall, and there was a flight of steps, a landing, and another flight of steps next door to my room. So I just go up those 75 times before I went home. That's crazy.
Maybe that's what I need to start doing, because I've definitely put on some weight the last few years. I need to come up with something. I got to I gotta get over the hump. Maybe it's stair climbing.
Stair climbing gets you, man. And everybody's got stairs in their house too. I mean, you have to do like 150 flights. That's stupid crazy. But yeah, I was stupid crazy about it. That's why I got sick. But anyway. Oh, and shout out to AA.
Happy to be here tonight.
That's good. And AA Ron's in the chat, so we're all good. Glad to have AA Ron in the house. All right, so here's the question of the night. Again, I was talking with Bob. He is in the chat right now. And he brought up a great point. So as the resort reopens, we know that's going to happen. We don't know the time. We don't know the how, the when, the why, but we know that it will eventually. And he gave some reasoning. If Disney does a slow reopening of Walt Disney World, which I would imagine they will, they're not going to just boom, you know, every resort room is at capacity. All four parks are open. Disney Springs at full blast. Typhoon Lagoon, Blizzard Beach, and so forth. I mean, they wish that. I mean, obviously, the company wants that to happen as quickly as possible. Revenue. But here's what he said in the end of his email, because we talked about some other things about Tiki Room and all kinds of stuff first. But here's what he says. Finally, if Disney does do a slow reopening, I hope they don't reopen Epcot right away. Outside of World Showcase, it's currently a mess and difficult to maneuver. A gradual opening gives Disney an opportunity to build anticipation and then present Epcot anew. Here's his reasoning. He gave some bullet points. Reopening Walt Disney World won't be easy, and one less gate is one less thing to concentrate on. Refilling and training the cast members in World Showcase is going to be problematic, especially with all the international travel, and they've sent them home. So anybody, think about World Showcase. It's staffed by folks that are cultural representatives. That could be difficult in the short term. He says also use the time for rebuilding the park. Think about all the projects that are currently underway. Guardians of the Galaxy, Ratatouille, the new Creperie, Space 220, the Moana water area, the entrance area, the Central Future World area, the Play Pavilion, a Spaceship Earth remake. So with all of those things closed, or with the park staying closed, like say the park opens, and they reopen the resort in June, but they keep Epcot down until October. They could, have, you know, October 1st on its anniversary, maybe they reopen it. I think he makes great points because Epcot right now is slightly a mess. I mean, if you've been there, any, you know, with all the construction walls, again, that's a great, you know, observation about World Showcase and the staffing issues. This would kind of, I know a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, I love Epcot. I love Epcot, man. I miss out on my favorite restaurants and it's my place to hang out. Great, this atmosphere. But it would almost like it would give people another reason to come when that, again, Disney likes to have opportunities for people to travel. And so if June, July, the theme parks open back up, they hold Epcot back, they really accelerate the construction. People that come in June or July, the hardcore fans like us, maybe schedule another trip for October, November when Epcot's back online because it's going to be in a better place when that fall or that next trip happens. Scott, what are your thoughts on this? Because I've been thinking about this all day since this email came in this morning.
That's a very interesting thought. And they don't call me up, Scott, for nothing. That's my favorite part.
That's why I needed you on tonight.
So one thing you were saying at first, my thought was like, well, Epcot seems the best one to keep open because of how you can space people out. Like, you know, we still have to have this distancing. That park can hold so many people. But then you said the word construction, and I was thinking like, oh my God, like you would just be jam-packed in Future World trying to get anywhere because of all the construction walls. So then I started thinking like, well, maybe this is actually not a bad idea because it might not feel as big as we're used to it where you could space people out.
And so both of us are huge Epcot fans. I mean, we go there sometimes first on the trip. Sometimes we end a trip at Epcot. But, okay, here's the thing, though. I think if Epcot wasn't open, Disney announces here in the next few weeks, okay, here's the plan. We're going to always have one park down, and for the initial big chunk, it's going to be Epcot. Because, I mean, that is kind of, with the construction, they could really take advantage of that once people can get back to work 100%, because right now they can't. But if people can go to theme parks, I'd imagine construction can go full bore. They could get so much done in like 3, 4, 5 months, you know, if they could go 24/7 on this stuff, they might, because again, they're not trying to get ahead of schedule now. Now they're trying to catch up to where they should be for the 50th anniversary next year. So would it impact your trip? Say you want to go down when they reopen within a month or two. If Epcot wasn't open, you're still going, right?
Oh, absolutely. I'm going. I'm not your ideal general population person though, you know. I have an annual pass. I go there all the time, but that's not going to impact my trip. Well, I'd be a little bit bummed for sure, but there's plenty of other things I can do. I can hang out at the resorts, like maybe take my Epcot day into a resort hopping day or something. But then we don't know what rules are going to be for resort hopping either. Yeah, that might not be allowed right now either. You know, once you're in a resort, they might not let you move to another one. Who knows how this is going to turn out? But to your bigger question, yes, I would be bummed if Epcot was closed. I would totally understand it. And that wouldn't stop me from traveling to Walt Disney World.
Well, too, and the way you can, this is just like psychological, but the way you can see Spaceship Earth from so far around property, you know, it'd be almost like hankering to you, like, come on over, man. I'm your old friend. You're it's not a complete Walt Disney World vacation without visiting, you know, and having breakfast back in France, or, you know, getting your margarita in Mexico, or riding Test Track or what have you, you know, getting a whoopie pie over at Sunshine Seasons, what, you know, whatever it is. It's so visible from all points.
Yeah.
And I think, too, I mean, there's a discussion going on in the chat. And this is why I love doing these live shows with so many folks. And, yeah, you know, some people are saying, you know, if, like Lori's saying, you know, if Epcot's not open, I'm not going. It's an essential part of my Disney experience. And I 100% get that, because I think it really is going to come down to like how often you have the opportunity to go. Like if I wasn't going, but maybe once a year, once every couple of years, once every 5 years, I would wait until I get the full experience. I mean, you're paying full price, I would assume. Yep. You know, you don't want to get 75% of the experience at 100% of the price, you know.
As long as they have the Skyliner route still going to Epcot, though, then I'm good. As long as I can ride the Skyliner.
True. That's true. I know. It's just interesting to see how this is going to work. And, we don't know anything about this. I mean, but Bob sent that out to me. It just totally hit me this morning while I was supposed to be working. And all morning I'm thinking, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Because first I was like, Bob.
It makes total sense. I don't think you can have all four parks open and the two water parks open when they reopen.
It does make sense, but don't you want to spread people out as much as possible too? I guess it's going to be a staffing issue too, though.
It would definitely be a staffing issue. And you brought it up about World Showcase. Like that alone is going to be a nightmare trying to get all the international folks back to Epcot. I definitely see it being two parks, because then which part? Obviously, you got to have Magic Kingdom open.
Yeah, you have to have that.
The studio seems ideal because there's so much to do there now, but then it's so small. Almost feel like Animal Kingdom would be your better option as the other park to have open.
Totally.
As opposed to the studios, but maybe you do all three of them. I don't know.
All right.
Man, I wish I could make those decisions.
I don't get paid enough to make these kind of decisions. All right. We have our first caller, and I believe it's Alfred. Am I right?
No, it's Mike.
It's Mike.
Good try.
He has
like a 50% chance of getting that right.
That's right. It's usually Alfred on the first call. But Mike, you are the winner. You get nothing tonight. But hey, thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem. I mean, I'll answer the Epcot question real quick, because then I have another question.
Sure. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that totally.
I'd be curious to hear, you know, people's thoughts in general. But real quick with the Epcot thing, it really does depend on how they plan on opening it. If they are planning on opening in phases or anything like that, yeah, maybe have Epcot open or rather be closed down for a little bit based on if it means they can quickly finish the construction. But to me, there's like just too many variables there. And I think at the end of the day, it would be better to have Epcot open just because it is the biggest park and you can spread people around a bigger distance.
That's a good point. And two, got to think about, I mean, I think it just comes from your perspective. Like Scott and I are both AP holders. Okay. So us going into Epcot, we're not passing through a gate. Probably 50% of the guests that are going into Epcot are probably paying $100 for that day. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's easy for us to say, you know, oh, well, let's keep it closed for a little bit because we're going to get back our, you know, we'll do that. But I mean, Disney's probably not real hip on missing out on 50% of the possible attendance at Epcot on any given day, paying $100 and plus all the revenues from the restaurants and the, you know, because even with all the Future World stuff down, the attractions, you still, I mean, that pushes people into World Showcase, and World Showcase is a revenue source with all the restaurants and stuff.
Yeah. Now, and it's funny you said that you're thinking of it from like an AP standpoint, because my question, the question I want to ask everyone, is also one that I think, frankly, your answer is going to vary based on if you are an AP holder, if you live in Florida, you're a Florida resident, or you're somebody like me who vacations in maybe once a year or longer.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm ready for the question.
Sorry. Okay. So for a long time now, I've even thought about this. So in trying to help with social distancing and reopening the parks, one of the things they're going to have to do is keep capacity down And at the same time, you also really can't have people waiting in lines for any ride. So I've heard like, oh, they'll do more stuff like Rise of the Resistance. But even what I was thinking was, why don't they just do a fast pass? Basically, you pre-plan your day fast pass style. You get 9 options. And, or in fact, they tell you, put down your top 9 to top 15 attractions you want to do in any given park, includes shows, whatever. And then they will organize a schedule for you based on the demand they have for that day, figure it out. And so then you get sort of a plan that you have to follow, and you might get shuffled in and out of the park relatively quick, but you'll be in there and you'll get done kind of what you want to get done, or at least most of it. I'm curious to hear what you think and what other people think, if that's a reasonable way to make this all work.
All right. So let me have Scott take the first stab at that. What do you think initially? Because yeah. I initially I'm nodding with you, and I want to hear what other people have to say too throughout
yeah,
the throughout
I heard,
the hour.
I almost heard this as almost like a AP like preview, like they would do like with Galaxy's Edge, like you have like a 4 or 5 hour window. Is that what you're kind of thinking too, almost? Like you get like 9 to 1 or something, and then like they kind of stagger those shifts, and then someone gets like 11 to 3 kind of a deal. Because I could totally see something like that playing out where you're when you know when people are going to be exiting the park, when new ones are coming in, so you kind of stagger that. I don't know how they figure that out with like security and things like that. Because I could just see a lot of bottlenecks at security and like entrances and exits. But I really do like that idea.
So what I'm seeing, Michael, what I'm thinking you're saying is more of like on the lines of like everybody gets a personal itinerary that has you, you know, like they mail it to you 30 days in advance and say, okay, you said these are what the attractions you're most interested in. So we've come up with a criteria that, you know, you're getting a Small World from 9 to 9:30. You're getting a Seven Dwarfs Mine Train 9:30 to 10. And they're limiting the amount of people that are in those travel windows. And you do that throughout the day. Maybe you guarantee 8 to 10 attractions. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, kind of. And the idea, I mean, I figure if you really, I mean, let's all be honest. As like hardcore Disney fans, when we've had our fast passes and all and line up, a lot of the rides these days, especially, you know, the ones that are available are fairly short. And if you really think about it, you could probably get done. If they kept moving you, they had a pre-planned itinerary and they kept moving you, you could probably get through like all the rides you wanted to go on in like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And they could kind of like move people through like that. So that they could keep the capacity low and just sort of move people through, give them what they want. Does it suck because then it takes away some of the joy of like enjoying the ambiance?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm there. Yeah.
But if it's, I don't know, for me as somebody who only gets once a year to go, I take that deal because at least I know I will get my money's worth and I will get my ride and I'll be safe. You know, it checks off enough boxes that it would feel worth it to me. But that's me.
Yeah,
because I'm coming from it. Yeah.
And two, the thing is, you also have to remember with this, okay, say they put this out. I like this in an ideal scenario, like talking about it here on April 21st, sitting in my studio. But when you get down to Walt Disney World, I probably don't use at least 30% of my fast passes. You know, like I'm signed up for them. I don't use them because circumstances change. Scott and I decide we're going to go get a hot dog instead of going on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. It's a better, you know, it's a better deal right now. We're hungry. We don't want to, we've already ridden Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I think in reality, I would like to see how many fast passes actually do get returned. And if you gave everybody this kind of a schedule, I guess they know, they probably have data that's similar, you know, that gives them at least enough reliable information that they could probably make this work. But it is, I mean, it's rigid. And the problem is training guests, like is guests, and I'm not just talking AP holders and Florida residents, folks, the hardcore Disney fans, the typical American and the typical person from overseas that comes to a theme park, we kind of know the rules that you go there, you stand in line, you wait. You know, when you throw FastPass in general into the situation for the normal person, it kind of throws them in a tizzy. And I just don't think, I think this is a good plan for us, for a lot of us. But I think we're such a small minority, this is not going to work probably for like grandma that's going down to see the grandkids meet Cinderella. You know what I'm saying? But I think it's a good thought, though. I mean, maybe the answer is somewhere in the middle.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's why I want to hear what other people have to think. Thank you again for doing this.
Absolutely, Mike, Michael. Yeah. Hey, good call, man. This is
that's a great call, Mike.
I need these. All right, Michael, take care. Stay safe.
All right. Take care. Bye.
So Justin made a comment about like, how would that work for locals? And I almost think so that they can have, so that Walt Disney can have control over things. I think only people going to the parks are going to be those staying that site. Through the resorts.
I mean, again, when I say stuff, I'm not speaking as a travel agency. I have no knowledge of this, but it would kind of make sense because if you look at when the parks hit capacity at the holidays, like say the 4th of July, Christmas, stuff like that. I mean, look how the tiers work. They close the parks, you know, it gets down to usually early where it's just on-site guests first. And that gives them, I mean, again, and I can't fault Disney for this. I mean, I'm not a Florida resident, so I mean, it sounds like I'm kind of cowardly saying this, either of you. But the thing is, Disney needs revenue. I mean, they're not getting revenue right now. And these things have been, you know, this isn't like a hurricane that passed over in 24 hours. This is something that's going to be months with nobody in those parks. They're going to need revenue. And so what they're going to want people in the beds and they're going to entice people. You know, I hate to say this, but they're going to want people that are buying resort packages more than they're going to want AP holders in the parks because they've already paid their admission. And they're definitely not going to want Florida residents because think about it. You know, you're not staying in a hotel and you've probably paid for your ticket already at a reduced rate.
I totally agree with that. And if the only people going to the only guests going to the parks are those that are staying at the resorts, they have those numbers. They can forecast better. Whereas if it's just locals coming in, they can't forecast that. I mean, they might have some ideas on past metrics, but those are thrown out the window right now because who knows who's going to be showing up now.
Totally. That is such an unknown. But again, then you get into the, you know, there's just so many, every time you think about anything like this, give us a call because we just want to continue this conversation with all you guys that are in the chat. We got lots listening in tonight. So 407-413-9395. When somebody drops off, come on in. 407-413-9395. The thing is, though, when you start limiting the Florida residents, like they've paid their money for their tickets. And then you get into a whole new ball of wax. Like they bought these tickets and they want to use them. And now you're saying, okay, now I can't use them, but Mike and Scott can, cause they don't live in Florida. It's just, it could be, okay. We have another caller here. So let's grab this one and then we'll continue the argument here. Who's joining us?
It's Alfred.
I see. You got me last time. I knew you started. His started with a 9 and yours started with a 9. That's what got me. So what's up, buddy?
I love it. I said, yes, score.
Sucker.
Oh, not much. Just listening to you guys. Hey, Scotty, how are you?
Good, Alfred. How are you doing tonight?
Not bad.
Good to hear from you.
Yep. Okay, so we have two important questions there. And I'm going to combine them into one.
Okay.
I think Epcot would best be to stay closed, even if it's for a few months. It doesn't have to be forever, like you said.
Don't say for that forever word, man. You're giving everybody a stroke in the chat. I now got to go in and edit. thanks, Alfred. Now I got to go in and edit the show before I can put it out on the feed so people don't.
That's a new twist on Epcot forever, right there.
Yeah, it is. Totally.
No, of course not, because Epcot's my park, and that's it. So, but I think because there's so many construction walls up, it has limited the space. So even though it's a big park, you're down by space because of the walls.
Yep.
But there's also another way around that. If there is really that need for Epcot, open a few restaurants in the World Showcase and make it ADR only.
Oh, you know what? They could do that because what you could do is just open the International Gateway because now you have the Skyliner that you could get back there via. And like if you go to Future World and say you're going to ADR at Akershus, this is what I used to do with the girls. We get it before the park opens. They would verify that you have an ADR like on a clipboard or something, and that's the only way you could get in. Hey, if it fills the restaurants, that would employ the servers, the chefs, and that'd be a win. I like that idea.
So that's a way to get in there, at least to enjoy the atmosphere of Epcot. Maybe not do rides and stuff, but at least get in there. With the idea of actually scheduling people, I don't really think that would work. it would be like I saw in the chat, a few people are saying, well, what about with kids? You can't schedule kids.
That's true. Oh, God, I know that. You know that, Scott.
Yeah. It's very hard. You know, what if they have a meltdown? You're going to lose your whole day then, or your whole 2 hours, whatever. So I don't think that it's a great idea, but I don't see it really working that well.
I got the answer to that. Kids just won't be allowed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. For the next year, for the next year, it's 18 and older, suckers.
All-inclusive thing. They check your ID at the resort. You don't have to bring your ID anymore. Then once they confirm your 21,
hang on. What's Iger's phone number? Because I got to call him on that one.
That's a good one. But my other point, I think, that needs to be made is on capacity. I think they're only going to fill resorts to a certain level, and that's it. There's not going to be any locals coming in. I don't even think they're going to let your, if you want to call them good neighbor hotels, letting them in. I think it's going to be just on Disney property.
I would see that.
Along with the APs.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that too, Alfred. And another question I wonder is, I mean, I support the Mike and the travel agency all the time, but those DVC holders, like, you're going to have so many members right now that aren't using points. Like, where are they going to put them all? I think they're going to have to open up more rooms for DVC holders as well.
And I think they're actually holding
back
rooms.
That would be nice.
I have no evidence of this again. I'm going to say this every night because I'm speaking as Mike Rahman, not for Pam, not for the travel agency, not for Disney, nothing. But I swear, at least in June, that they're holding back rooms in the value resorts because the value resorts can be so densely packed.
Yes.
That I just don't think they want Pop Century with 3,000 rooms with four people in a room, all that tight together. And then Art of Animation right across the way. That's like a night. I think that's just, I think they're maybe booking every other room. I don't know because they don't tell me, but I'm just saying, like, I see dates where I cannot get a room at a value, but I can get one at Beach Club and they're more spread out.
Mm-hmm. And just think about the food court at Pop Century too. True. Like, know how like crazy that gets in the morning or even at any time of day, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe they'll fill maybe quarter capacity. Mm-hmm. So if they can hold 2,000 rooms, a quarter of that is what they'll fill.
And you know what? Filling Pop Century to a quarter capacity is better than what it's sitting at
right now. Still a lot.
It's a lot better than it is right now. And the thing is, people are going to feel more comfortable if that. And what it does, it really makes... And remember, like Iger sitting on this board, there's all kinds of Disney executives sitting on these commissions that are coming up with strategies to reopen. And I'm sure that something like this is on the table. And think about it. If you're one of those guests at Pop Century and it's only filled to a quarter capacity, you're going to walk out of there feeling more comfortable. You're going to have a better experience. You're not going to wait as long for transportation. You're not going to be squished. They're not going to squish people on buses. You know, the people that get the reservations, they're going to walk away happy. Mm-hmm. And Disney does not want people going down, especially coming out of this and coming back and saying they should have never opened. It was a nightmare. You know, that'd be the worst thing.
And you know what could happen too? The minivans might be a lot cheaper because they're going to want to get people out and alone.
That's true.
So if you have a family of three, they might be taking a minivan for half the price. They might have a daily pass for that.
You know what? People that either have a little extra income or people that are germaphobes are definitely going to be using, I would even say, over Lyft and Uber, just because the minivans, I'm sure, are going to be very well scrubbed down every trip. Yeah, that's good.
I wonder about the buses. Are they going to, like, they're not going to jam pack you in like they normally do, like a Magic Kingdom close.
I know. I'll have two kids. Like, I hold on to the bars, Alfred, and then kids hang on to my biceps.
Yeah.
You know, that's how it works. My little bicep.
I was about to say, like,
it's not much of a bar.
It's really
saying,
little kids.
It's got a little hump still.
But remember, there's not going to be kids at Walt Disney World, so you won't have that problem.
That's true. There's no kids for the next year. I forgot about that. Yes, the new rule.
Yeah, 18 and older.
Totally. I'll meet you at
Pleasure Island all over again.
Oh my God, yeah. Bring back 8 tracks. Bring back 8 tracks.
Oh, yes, and an adventurer's club.
Yes. Oh my gosh. We've solved all the problems. Alfred, and you haven't even been on the phone 8 minutes.
Yeah.
You've got it all figured out.
Exactly. Disney should hire me.
Absolutely. I've said that about me forever, but I guess, they're waiting.
They don't
waiting.
Want me. Yeah,
they don't want me either. They're just waiting for the perfect time, I guess. That's what I tell my wife.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll wait till I'm 75 and can't walk, and then they'll give me a broom and bucket and go along to sweep the ground.
Now they want you to draw Mickey with water in one of those buckets. You know how they do that. You got to get your artistic talents.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to be a double threat.
Yeah, I've been practicing that. My
but you know what? I would do it.
You've been drawing this?
I would do it.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right, Alfred. Well, hey, thanks for solving all the problems, and we'll talk to you Thursday night.
You're welcome.
Stay safe,
buddy.
All
right, sounds good.
Talk to you later.
You too. Bye-bye, guys.
Joanne, I think Joanne would go for the would go for the 18 and older. Apparently, though, Joanne wants to know what Emily's telling you.
She won't hear this.
Well, that's for the next show. All right,
she's going to be in school for like the next 2 years, making up all this time. True. So there won't be any school breaks.
That's true. I keep telling Mallory, she goes, "You think they're going to shorten our summer?" I'm like, "I heard you're going back like June 5th. who knows? All right, we have two calls coming in. Let me get to the one here that was in just a hair ahead of the next one. Hey, who's joining us?
Hey, Mike, it's Wade from Lincoln, Nebraska.
What's up, Wade?
Hey, Wade.
Hey, I'm doing good. Hey, Scotty G, how are you?
Great, Wade. Great to hear from you.
Good to hear. Good to see you too. You've recovered from the mile an hour marathon.
Finally recovered from that. That was a beast. Oh yeah, there was a comment asking about that. That is harder than a full marathon.
It's gotta be. It's gotta be.
It's so much harder. It wears your body down. Just having to like lace up again and then go out running in the dark for just like 10 minutes just to come back and do it all over again 45 minutes later. Not ideal.
I pass.
I tell you, it's like I said, I bend down to sit down to take my shoes off for a second. I get up. It's like, I got to, oh, hold on a second. Let me get this leg moving and then this leg moving. So
that's the honest to God truth. Like after, especially if you run at Disney, like I tend to run, if I'm not running with people, I'll run kind of fast because people cheer you on there and like at home, nobody's cheering you on. You're just going or whatever. But then as soon as you sit down on that, the best was after my first marathon in 2015. I can't remember. We went through Fort Wilderness. I guess I'm staying at Wilderness Lodge. I don't even know. But somebody went to get off one of those motor coaches. I should not laugh at this because it's going to totally happen to me next year. They went to get off. You know how steep those buses are? Those stairs are on the motor coach, right? It's not a Disney bus.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
A motor coach.
Like straight up and down almost.
Oh, yeah, totally. And this guy got up to walk down. He took the first step. And he just because his legs did not move. His upper body moved, but his legs were just locked. And like everybody jumped up, and everybody else was trying to jump up on the bus was locked up too. So everybody's like, oh, ah. It was the biggest train wreck ever. But yeah, you had to be there anyway.
Terrible. No, I can picture it. Believe me. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I always said, I'm sure the bus drivers are tired of hearing us all say, oh, geez, these stairs. One yeah. step at a time. Catch me if I fall.
For real, suck it up, Buttercup. Get up those. It's you know what? Going up them is not a problem. It's going down the steps yeah. that is the painful.
You got to walk backwards. That's why I told
oh,
the guy
yeah,
that
yeah.
the guy who did whose idea was that 24-hour marathon thing. He told me the next day, like, I was struggling to go down the steps. I said, dude, you just got to walk them backwards. You look ridiculous, but it works.
You got to moonwalk them up.
It does,
that's
actually.
It. That's yeah. it. All right, so what do you got, funny. Wade? What do you think about Epcot being closed, or what do you think?
Well, first of all, it's blasphemy because, you know, thinking of La Cava del Tequila not being open is hard to imagine in any kind of world.
That's true.
Let alone Disney World. But, yeah, it's interesting conversation. When I saw this earlier today, I thought, Epcot not being open. And I did think a little bit along the lines that you were saying was, well, there's so much construction there. If they could ramp that up, and like you said, catch up, then it probably makes a lot of sense. But then, of course, listening to, you know, the comments of, well, gosh, if I'm coming to Disney World and I'm paying X amount of dollars, how is that even possible where one of the parks is not open? Unless, of course, it was, you know, communicated up front and you were told, just like when they close a pool or when they close, you know, things like that, it's communicated and let everybody know, then it could be a possibility. Now, of course, if we eliminated kids like Scotty G has proposed,
that's the way we've already, that's totally done. That's a done deal. We're not even debating that anymore.
We're good. Yeah, we're good. I'm sure there's people in the chat right now going, oh, my gosh, they're proposing banning kids from Disney World.
Yeah.
God, I hope this something doesn't go viral out of this podcast. Man. Like, there's all these rumors that Walt Disney World closed the children.
This is only how I make my living. People were just joking. We're spitballing people. Yeah. Blue sky.
It's a joke. It's just a joke. So, no, I think it is, you know, it's very interesting to think about, though, because I thought a lot of the same things. How could you spread people out, but how could you also limit where people go as well, too? And I keep coming back around to, I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if it's possible to do. Again, you know, folks like us and, you know, probably many of these people listening to a podcast on a Tuesday or Thursday or whatever night it is, Tuesday night, I think, we go more often. You know, we're annual pass holders. And so, you know, if you told me, hey, you're going down Epcot's closed, I'd be really bummed out. But OK, I can make that work because I know I'll be back for, you know, Wine and Dine or Marathon Weekend or Star Wars Weekend or just, you know, whatever. So I could handle that. But folks that go, you know, save for years to go, that would be a really big bummer. And I don't know how you could do it, honestly. And that it's, you know, you get into thinking about how they're even going to do any of this, let alone closing a park, is going to be a challenge. I did see an article yesterday. Maybe some of you saw it, where analysts are saying they don't see how Disney World could open until January 2021.
I saw that too. And, okay, once I got my heart going again, then
right,
I had breakfast.
Yeah. I had a heart attack after that. Yeah.
And I think that's I hope, knock on wood, whatever. I think that's a very extreme, you know, projection. But again, sports stadiums, theme parks, places where people congregate, not just like 10 or 25, like thousands of people, you start to go, oh gosh, that, you know, that could be something that could be reality.
Yeah. Let me jump in there, Wade, because the thing I keep hearing, because of course, you know, some of these states are reopening early, you know, later this week, Georgia, you know, some other southern states are opening and stuff. And that's going to be a test bed. But I mean, everything you hear about, you know, these hair salons reopening and, you know, what have you, there was like gyms, I think they were going to reopen, but the one word, even all the businesses that they talk to, these business owners, is that yes, we're going to be very careful with being, you know, sanitizing everything. But the word you hear, and I agree, is that, okay, we're still going to be enforcing social distancing in our place of business. And I mean, I'm sorry, but in a Disney theme park, social distancing does not happen because you have kids. Like when I run, I'm very social distant on my path because there's not a whole lot of people out there, but there's more than there used to be because people need to get out. But it's the kids. Like they don't know. They have no. And I mean, a kid should not have to know that you can't come within 6 feet of a person. They're being kids. But I mean, there's kids everywhere. And we talked about this. I think you and I, you know, you go to Huskers games, 100,000 people in Lincoln. It, you know, we're just used to being around people. And at Walt Disney World, everything is so competitive. Like, If you left a six, I'm telling you, and this is going to happen, you leave a 6 foot gap, somebody's going to butt you in line. I mean, it's just how it is. Like, there's going to be a fight, you know, like, dude, I'm social distancing. Don't butt me in line. I taught sixth grade. This is how things happen. You know, it's, I don't know. Scott, what do
you
think?
I've seen that firsthand, the sorting queue with some people on this show. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying, like, we're, I don't think people can social distance at a theme park. I just don't think it can happen. I mean, at least not right now.
No, you can't. And I was just thinking, going back to like the subject of tonight about Epcot. So Mike, were you there? You were there. Did you go to Epcot during Princess?
I did. Yep.
Okay. And wait, I'm not sure when the last time you were there, but just think if that was your first trip to Epcot. Like that was almost kind of miserable. Like, and if you think coming up, like Spaceship Earth was going to be down anyway. Like Future World is such a mess, and I'm not sure what kind of impression that would leave on someone's like first time being there. Like it almost seems like you'd rather have it closed for those first time guests, because it's just a mess right now.
I agree. Because I mean, even I've been there a million times, and I didn't even, they took us through some path over by Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't know where I was. I'm like, dude, I've been in this park for 10 years. I'm still lost. So what about you, Wade? I think that's a good point. I mean, that might leave somebody at like a sour taste in their mouth when they go home.
Well, yeah, I was there marathon weekend. Was the last time I was there. And so, yeah, it's a mess. Now, I heard about the path to get to, you know, to test track. It's like, oh no, go back out towards the entrance and then turn and whatever, mm-hmm. which I have a hard time imagining. So yeah, it's certainly a mess. I think, you know, it's interesting, just real quick, you were saying, you know, these salons opening. I was on a call with a group today. Salons in Colorado may open in 7 to 10 days, or they will. And they're waiting for the Department of Regulatory Affairs to come out with what they, you know, will have to follow. And it's probably going to be 10 people in there, including stylists or barbers. And then, you know, masks by the operator, masks by the guest, the consumer, you know, hand sanitizing stations, a lot of that stuff. And I go, how do you blow this up to a sporting event or theme park?
I know, for real. I mean, that can be done in a hair salon where you can have, you know, 10, 50. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't do that. What's it called in Lincoln? Yeah. Cornhusker Stadium? I don't even know.
Memorial Stadium.
Yep. I mean, you can't. I mean, I always joke that our football field in Mizzou looks like a high school field compared to like going to Bama or, you know, like up in Lincoln or something. We only hold 65,000, 70,000. But I mean, in a bad year at Mizzou, like, I still can't imagine that many people coming out even when we play some D3 school. You know, it's like, it's crazy.
Well, yeah, I think my seat in Memorial Stadium is like 18 inches wide. And you know, 18 inches, and then it's, yeah, 90,000+ people. There's not a lot of knee room, elbow room, any kind of room. And then you throw in, you know, a 95-degree day in September, there's a lot of sweating going on. So, yeah.
And it's still a tight game in the fourth quarter in September, and you're playing like Fordham or something. Yeah.
Exactly. Hey, the way the last couple of years have been, believe me. We take what we can get.
No, I hear you.
No, I'll tell you, next time Michigan State comes out there, though, I'm going to have to make a visit and we can meet up with you. That'd be awesome.
Hey, absolutely. I see your Michigan State sweatshirt on tonight. So, yeah. Oh, man. Big Ten football, right? Sorry, Mike. I know you're SEC football now.
That's all right.
But
we for a while there, it was between the Big Ten and the SEC. I was like, God, please let us go south. I've always been an SEC fan. I don't know.
Big Ten's better. We do need Nebraska to get good again. Like, once Nebraska can like start being a powerhouse again, that will be huge for the Big Ten.
Yeah, I will agree with that. I will second that that motion for sure.
I will.
So,
I got to tell Wade, though, I don't know if I've ever told Wade this though. My second best in person football memory was I was at the game that Mizzou beat Nebraska, and I was next. I was on the field. And I was next to the goalpost going down to Harpo's after we took out Nebraska with Brad Smith. God, that was a great night. It poured all night. It was so miserable, but God,
I remember that.
Oh, because we got.
I remember watching that game.
You guys beat us 77-0 like a couple years before that. And I listened to the whole dang game. I'm like, God, 77-0. Have mercy.
We're getting a lot of Big Ten love in the chat. Just saying.
yeah, look at that. I love seeing that. That's right. We got some Illini, Ohio State. Yes, there we go. Some green. All right.
My best ever memory, though, was yelling at Johnny Manziel when we clinched the SEC East, and he was in. I have a video, and I can't believe Pam's like, did you put that on Instagram? I was like, yeah, put that on Instagram. I didn't even listen to it. I'm like, I hate you, Johnny Manziel. I'm just yelling because I'm on the hill. Place was oh my gosh, when we beat A&M to go to Atlanta. Oh, I was living my ultimate dream.
I like that one as well. So I was with you guys on that one. So no doubt.
Now we blew up the chat room with a little SEC Big Ten competition. It looks like the Big Ten's kind of killing it.
Big Ten is killing it right now.
Watch
Big Ten is
say.
Representing.
They are. That's great.
We are really bored in the Midwest.
You can see where it's cold.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. Well, Wade, thanks for calling in, buddy. And I'll talk to you Thursday. Give us a holler.
Sounds good. Good to chat, guys. All right. Take
care.
Stay
healthy.
See you, Wade.
See you, Mike.
I like getting all that inside information, though, because he is really working with like salons across the country, even internationally. And when you think about it, I mean, I don't know, but I guess salon's going to be one of the kind of test beds for how we get things going again. Like he said, kind of on a micro scale, you know, 10 to 15 people in a haircut in place. But how
that's
do you translate
the busiest place to? After this?
Oh, my God.
It's like, that's the first place I'm going.
I saw a tweet the other night that Great Clips is going to be the next Rise of the Resistance boarding group system. Like, yes.
I should seriously consider buying some stock in like the Great Clips, the Sports Clips. I mean, there's no sports to watch while you're doing this now.
Yeah, you'll be watching like the 96 Lakers as you get a haircut. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Again, give us a call, 407-413-9395. You know, the funny thing is we really – let me reset Skype here. We really don't have – like, I don't have a feeling one way or the other. Should it stay closed? I mean, because every argument that's been presented tonight has merit. But I think mm-hmm. Wade's right, and I think you made a good point, Scott, is that if it was your first time and you walk into the, you know, Epcot construction zone, it's shocking for the first 20 minutes that you're in the park. All right, we got a call. Yeah. Uh-oh. We got a high-pitched call.
They're after us.
I know who is. Who's joining us next?
Hey, Mike and Scott, Justin in Tampa, Florida.
Justin, what's up?
Hey, Justin, how you doing?
Hey, doing good, guys. So, yeah.
We got the regular crew tonight calling in.
We do. This is the old school crew.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got to have Alfred first, though.
That's right. He tricked me by calling second. He just laughed at me and laughed.
I think Epcot not opening, I kind of like the idea. I mean, hey, I'm a huge Epcot fan, but I like the idea of them being able to maybe accelerate the construction and maybe open it and give us something excited, you know, get us excited about for the opening.
Well, because they could, you know, I don't think they would want to hold it back to the, excuse me, to the, like the 50th anniversary. That's too long. People are going to be whining about that.
Right.
But I mean, I think October, again, I mean, who knows? The theme parks might not even, the resort might even be open in October. But I'm just saying, say they open this summer, October would be a natural date to reopen, like October 1st, because it's the anniversary of the park. You know, maybe.
Right.
I don't know. But again, you know, like people are going to be paying full price. You're a Florida local, too. Where do you fall on this? Like, how do you make it work without flooding the parks? And you're a local, which you have a different perspective than Scott and I.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I hear a lot of these ideas like being tossed around, and I think that just maybe just a lot of the listeners, a lot of people chiming in, are guests who are looking a year out, you know, 6 months out, you know, and they're doing all this planning. They do 80 yards. You got to realize that for a guy like me, I would say 90% of my days at the park are decided I'm going to go the day before I go or the day of. I literally go on the day of for 3 or 4 hours. So restricting to like some kind of schedule or needing only ADRs or only fast passes would almost completely just knock me out of being able to go, or I would have to completely change the way that I get to use my pass. So yeah. I'm not a big fan of that. But what I would say, though, is I would be able to make some kind of compromise. And this is what I was kind of thinking. If we'd start to open up the parks, let's say like a soft opening, we're saying, hey, we're going to start opening up to resort guests or DVC or out-of-state AP holders. And we're going to start doing kind of like this, like graduated opening or who are allowing in. I would be okay with that. Just don't restart my pass time until we're 100% online. So let's say it takes them like a month or 2 months to transition. Just add another month or two to my AP, and I'm not even upset. But if you restart my timer on my AP on day one, and you're kind of restricting my times, I'm not really happy with that.
I get that. I mean, and I'm happy with what they're doing with annual passes because, again, I'm an annual pass holder. Scott is.
Right.
You know, we have a lot of annual pass holders where, I mean, trust me, nobody wants the parks and the resort to open up sooner than me. Maybe Pam Forrester, but I definitely do. Trust me. I'm right with her.
Right.
But I mean, the thing is, I want my guests to be comfortable and safe. That's the most important thing. I don't want anybody going and being worried that they're going to be, you know, caught by the bug, you know, like the whole time you're scared to death. Well, why would you be there if you're not having fun? It's vacation. But I do want them to open safely. But the thing is, with the APs, I'm almost seeing it as an opportunity. So, you know, they closed in mid-March. It's now mid-April. So my annual pass now has a month extra. I bought it in January. And I mean, I don't want this to happen, but if it does, I might not have to buy another ticket for Princess next year. You know, and like my girls, their annual passes, two of them, we bought them in May when we went down for Summit for cheerleading. So right now they're going to be good till June. If this goes on another 3-4 weeks, we could go down in July if the parks are open and nobody will have to buy tickets. I just have to get a resort, you know, so opportunity slightly, but I think it's exactly what you're saying is that you don't want to get shortchanged. You've invested money as long, but you're willing to be flexible. I mean, we're all going to have to give a little. We're not getting everything we want.
Right.
We're all going to have to give a little, but you just want it to be fair.
Well, I think we're the first place people go, and Disney might be going to the same spot. I think where most people's minds go is like, all right, well, let's say like Magic Kingdom has a capacity of 100K. Well, someone says, well, we'll just cut down the capacity. I think the problem is it's like a whole supply and demand. Like if we all found out as big Disney fans that Magic Kingdom opens up in a month and there's only a 30,000 guest capacity, what's going to end up happening? They're going to have a line going from Magic Kingdom out to I-4 for people waiting to get in the morning. They're going to actually create a bigger problem by curbing down or tampering down how many guests they're going to allow in the park. I kind of like the idea of saying, hey, for a month, we're going to do resort guests only. Like, I know that really hurts.
But it's
for
easy,
you
but
that
it's,
just to want to show up for the day.
But you're right. It's controlled. It's a controlled thing. Yes.
Right.
Yes, totally.
Right. And then just give me extra time on my AP and I won't be upset about that. I would even be fine with saying out of state APs can even go in before me. I'm okay with even that because I know they're going to be filling up the rooms and getting more revenue in. I'm okay with that. Just don't start my timer on my pass until we're 100% online. And then I'm okay with kind of like, you know, sitting on the sideline for even a couple months. I'd be fine with that.
Scott, I'll take that. We're out of town. That'll work. No, but the thing is, too, I mean, think about it as a Florida resident in the practical sense. You know, you guys don't pay, I don't believe you guys pay state income taxes because of folks like us who come down and pay all these taxes to stay in the hotels and, you know, spend money. So you guys want tourism to pick up as quickly as possible. You want us to go down there. We spend our money and pay your taxes, right? I mean, some of them.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Disney, hospitality drives, you know, Florida's economy for sure. I mean, there's other markets, of course, but I mean, hospitality is a big cornerstone of the economy in Florida for sure.
Yeah.
And then I had one more kind of thinking or idea for like the early morning or like the way that we open parks. So like a lot of people are already talking about like, all right, well, this is how we could maybe do rides or shows. I don't even think that those are the hurdles. I think the hurdle is, I mean, when you show up at Disney World, I mean, you're in these massive lines for security to get on the monorail. I mean, just getting into the park, I think, is the biggest challenge. Like, once you get in, I think we can come up with some good ideas. But I don't think if you can't get past the whole how do we get the day started part, I don't think you can even start talking about the other part.
Yeah, because, so, I mean, would they have to, like, for example, say Pop Century in the morning, just they would have to police the bus corrals. You know what I'm saying? Because we're so used to jamming in there and, you know, like I can get on that bus cause I don't want to have to wait an extra 20 minutes for the next bus, you know, like that's 20 more minutes I can have in the park, but we got to get past that mindset because, you know, like we're going to be, I'll be freaking out when I see a bus pull out with like 25 people on it. I'll be like, whoa, you can fit 190 people. They did that last summer. You know, it's we are going to be just in for, it's going to be weird. I said that on that one show with Sunday night. It's going to be weird for Disney fans. When you go back, it's just going to be straight. It's going to be like being in a foreign land.
I
like the idea of doing like a controlled opening in the morning too. So let's say like Magic Kingdom, let's say an average opening time is like 9 a.m. Like let's bump up just like regular ticket sales, like a regular morning or regular day starting to like 11. And then we're going to say, all right, on property guests can show up at 7 a.m. So then what that's going to do is get a lot of guests there, but not everybody, but get a lot of guests there and get them processed. Then let's say at 9, we're going to open up for non-resort, you know, maybe like system property resorts or like DVC or APs and let another wave in. And then like general admission will open up maybe at like 10 or 11. So you kind of control that opening, not getting everybody like bunched up on the gate, you know, trying to, you know, rope drop all together.
It works.
And the problem, I can get
as long as it's the same price, though.
Leaving.
Yeah, that's true. The problem is leaving. That's
part closing
right,
is going to
be
the toughest problem, I think.
Right. I mean, if you get someone there early, I mean, Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about you guys, but I mean, if I'm there at 8 or 9, like, I'm probably not going to be staying till 9 p.m. I'm probably bolting out kind of early also. So, you know, if you were – I think one of the problems with restricting the hours, if you say, like, 11 a.m. to, say, like, 6 p.m., you're like, well, we'll, you know, let me put it that way. You're going to bunch all your guests together. I think you actually need to be open longer and get guests in earlier so you can kind of spread out the times of day that people show up.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I think Scott's got a good point, because even if you're supposed to leave at 6, people are going to be hiding out just to be in the atmosphere, because we're going to all want to be out, you know, and just take it, just to be out.
Right.
I mean, we all want that, and it's going to be hard, you know, flushing some people out of the park without flushing everybody out of the park, even if you did, like, a wristband. Like, if you have a purple wristband, you have to leave at 6. If you have a, you know, a red wristband, you get to stay till 8.
No, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think restricting the end of the daytime would work. It's more just getting people in earlier, because I think people will naturally start filtering out earlier because they got there earlier.
Especially though,
if you start your day at 7 a.m.
Yeah, if you don't have fireworks, though, like, because if you have some kind of event, then everybody leaves at the same time.
Right. I think that the whole nighttime or gathering event, if it's a parade or a show or fireworks, I think that's completely out the door, probably for 6 months to a year. I mean, it's super sad to even have to say that, but I just think that's probably the last tier opening for what we can expect from them.
So many variables. So, I mean, I have never thought about, you know, just so many variables. It's crazy. I mean, because I've been in a store that, you know, think about it. You go in the Emporium, or especially that store on Hollywood Boulevard at the studios, park opening or park closing, man, you're wall to wall just in that store. So they'd have to control that. I mean, everything.
How about pop your head inside to that Starbucks in Hollywood Studios?
I mean,
they are shoulder to shoulder.
That's my favorite Starbucks.
I mean, wall to wall. I mean, it's to the point you almost need a fast pass to get in that Starbucks now.
You will.
At Hollywood Studios. Yeah.
That's crazy. Hey, well, hey, you got another citizen I heard down in Tampa today. So watch Gronk down there. I saw Brady picked him up at the airport already. I saw that on Twitter.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, hey, I'm looking for, I mean, hopefully we have an NFL season and starts on time and all that. But man, I'm really looking forward to going to a Bucks game next year just because of that.
I'm just going
to a Bucks game. Like, that's going to be a crazy atmosphere. That's gonna be awesome.
And you got to keep him out of your park. Well, so get up early tomorrow morning and keep Brady out of the park. Come on.
not to mention that Super Bowl, the next Super Bowl is planned for Tampa. So it could be the first year. I mean, I hate to jinx this. I'm putting it out there, knock on wood. But, you know, a home team could be hosting the Super Bowl.
I think my dad said that, too. But they made the Super Bowl in Atlanta, so I can't really. He got to go. Yeah, well, he'd like that. But we'll see. All right. Well, hey, thanks. We got to run because we're at the top of the hour. But, Justin, stay safe. We'll talk to you soon. Great comments.
Hey, you guys have a good night. Thank you. Yep. All right. Have a good night, guys.
So, final thoughts, Scott. I mean, Justin had a lot of ideas. I think you bring up the biggest point, which I never considered. We're always thinking about the beginning of the day. The end of the day is the biggest nightmare of the whole deal at Disney. It is, as far as crowds, I think it is.
Because it's when everyone's trying to get back to the resort. Everyone's leaving the park at the same time. You make a good point, though, about like a nighttime event. Like, you have to eliminate those. That will draw people, thin the crowds out a little bit more. But like, people are just going to want so much Disney that they're going to go.
They're not going
to
leave.
Like how we used to go back in the day with Extra Magic Hour. If we're going to 3 a.m., like, we've got to take advantage of this.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, people make bad decisions when they're tired. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, in the morning, you're more apt to be, like, you know, thinking and being careful and washing your... I'm not saying I don't wash my hands at night. Don't read this wrong. But I'm just saying when you're tired at, say, 11 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, you've been going all day in July in the hot Florida sun, you know, you're probably not worried about your 6 feet spacing at that point as much when you're walking out. You're just... When people are tired and people are, you know, a little cranky, maybe a little hangry, and they're just, their feet are hurting, people, I just don't think people will be making great decisions at the end of the day, no matter what kind of day they had.
So this is the opposite. We were just saying, I just had this idea. Well, if you go 24 hours.
But the thing is, okay, that makes sense in a big way because you spread people out. You get the night owls in there and get them out.
You got people showing up at 3 in the morning. Yeah,
Ricky and Brian, dude, they're not there during the day because they go all night. You're right. I mean, but... At some point, Disney's going to have to financially sit down and crunch the numbers and say, what is the amount we have to have in the park at all times to even make it worth opening the parks, period? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, as much as we say you got to keep the capacity down, that park is going to be open for 2,000 people. It's just not worth it. You know, there has to be a certain level of making it work. I don't know.
True.
Anthony says, link hands and flush them out. Yeah. And then, of course, somebody will be playing a Red Rover with you. They'll be like trying to bust through the line. I could see
that. I tell you, me and Elizabeth were talking about this the other day. Like, when are we going to go down? Like, if they announce X date, like, when are we going? And, like, I want to go the first day. And I'm kind of nervous to go the first day, but, like, I just want to – I got to support Pam. I got to support the Magic of Us. And, like, I just want to start, like, booking travel like crazy. You know, I'm just anxious. And I hope a lot of people will do the same thing.
I agree. And – I mean, my guess is, you know, I'm hoping to go for the 4th of July. But that's what we always do. We're always there for the 4th of July. That's, you know, we go, mm-hmm. I mean, we always saw Illuminations on July 4th. We saw the Magic Kingdom on July 3rd. You know, that's probably not going to happen, but it's definitely not going to be Illuminations, obviously. But, you know, we had our good times. You know, we're always there with you guys, the Foresters, you know, Ricky and everybody. We just hang out at the pool. You know, like, the parks are crazy that, you know, on the 4th of July, we don't go to the parks till the evening. You know, and we have a great time.
We hang out at the pool. Yeah, barbecues at the
barbecue.
Resort.
And, exactly. I mean, it's totally fine with me. So we'll see. You know, this was just kick the can just to see what was going on and, you know, have some discussion. So, Scott, thanks for hanging. And maybe later this week, if it's still cold, we'll have to do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. I got nowhere to go.
Seriously, I'm here. Captive audience. All right, we're going to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for being a part of the show tonight. We appreciate it. Tomorrow, we'll be on around 7:15 Eastern. We're recording a trip report, so join us for that. Again, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, shows just like this, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.